SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline. With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159.
Time to roll in the afternoon, Thursday. No better place to be. 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. You know what time it is. It's Moneyline, the best hour of your day. It's Donnie and Kevin here. A lot of topics to get to, including Major League Baseball on today. Jack Leiter out here, one of the best prospects in baseball, getting hammered in his first appearance in Major League Baseball. That's a five. They got 9 runs by the third inning in that game. No stopping them there, which includes no stopping those Philadelphia 76ers last night, K-Dub.
Yeah, listen, an important win, no other way to describe it. It doesn't mean they'll roll the Knicks, but the market can show you that some spots the Sixers are favored to beat New York. They would be comfortable underdogs to beat Boston. And oh, by the way, they still would have had to beat the Chicago Bulls in order to get to that series with Boston. So it's a huge lift for them. But I will say, it wasn't the most confidence-ringing victory I've seen from the Sixers. Not because, oh, it was an ugly game, but just, I don't know, just Embiid didn't play well, and Embiid has postseason questions, and Embiid has health questions entering this whole thing, and every Sixers fan and basketball fan knows that this team isn't going anywhere unless Embiid can be excellent.
Jimmy Butler, the biggest question mark coming out of that game, because he's going to be down for a couple weeks now. But knowing Jimmy Butler, like, the report comes out he's going to be down, we'll reevaluate him in a few weeks, which means the Miami Heat probably won't get him back this season, which means that Jimmy Butler's probably going to be questionable working out on Friday night to try to get going in that basketball game. The dude played on a damaged MCL for the remaining 3 quarters of that game, playing 40 total minutes in that game, which was pretty impressive. But I left the game last night between the Sixers and the Heat saying this: Doc Rivers coaches that game, Sixers get beat by 35.
No, oh my gosh, yeah, 100%. No, yeah, they're not winning that game with Doc.
Making adjustments, I mean, at the half, you know. Oh my, I mean, I can't even imagine what we'd be talking about
down
in
to
this
the
city.
9-10. Like, they would have just completely fallen all the way out. You know what I mean? So, no, look, definitely a much better result, as Doc Rivers is going to be a dog, possibly, in his opening round series.
Do we even think the Miami Heat get out of this playing round? Like, because let me just, you know, the lines were moving a little bit this morning based on that information came out today. Miami Heat still favorites at -1.5 at FanDuel, -2 at PointsBet. So still favorites, but without Jimmy Butler, that team struggles as is. But you would have to figure that they still would be good enough for a W at home. You would think, maybe. I don't know.
Well, look, I think the fact that the play-in somehow ended up with massive injuries to the losing team in the opening game of the play-in is just the worst luck imaginable. The fact that the Pels and the Heat lost, and then their best player was injured in the process, and Zion and Jimmy Butler, is not what anybody was looking for there. Not no way, no how. And look, it really changes the big change here, Donnie, because the report, I believe, from Shams was that Jimmy could be out weeks. To be honest with you, I don't want to say I don't care about the Miami-Chicago game, but the Celtics are now in a position to roll regardless. No matter the record, no matter the situation, if Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat go to play the Celtics in round one, you know Miami is a level of live. They could absolutely go in there and shake that team and beat that team. Without Jimmy, that's really inconceivable, which basically puts the Celtics on this clear path already, it feels, to the conference finals.
No, it feels like that as well. It really does, where it's like, okay, the intrigue was, again, the 7 seed. It would not be a true 7 seed if they got there healthy, meaning the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. Yeah. But having said that, you're going to get the Heat now without their best player, and who even knows if you're even going to get the Heat, and you might get the Bulls, which, when you're the top seed, you get to the victors go the spoils. You're supposed to get lower-round teams that aren't as good, and you're probably going to get that now. Watching both games yesterday, I always like when, you know, the spread intrigue comes into things. 208, 208 and a half. Late three ball goes down. 3.3 seconds on the clock. Tough scene there. If you had the Philadelphia 76ers, you would have loved the miss on that, and you would have got a foul, probably made another free throw to tack on that 4.5 or 5.5, wherever you got that number at. It was a fun game, maddening game from a fan perspective like myself watching for the Sixers, where, hey, they come out hot, Bam Adebayo gets 2 quick fouls, Sixers probably going to roll, and then they couldn't make a shot for about a quarter and a half, and it was like, hey, look at Spo out here, just throwing some whack-ass zone against the Sixers that they haven't seen or they're not ready for, they can't do anything about it, down double digits at the break. It's like, oh, the Heat going to win this game. Sixers better regroup for that game on Friday night, where they would probably be taking on again the Chicago Bulls. But turns out they played well in the second half. Joel Embiid, who did not have a good basketball game, played very well in the fourth quarter. And Nick Batum, reincarnated as Ray Allen in that basketball game, saved the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, the Batum stuff was absolutely wild. Embiid had a hot 2.5 minutes in the fourth quarter that really made a difference there. And I mean, also, I'm not trying to take away from Philly, Donnie, but I mean, Jimmy Butler was apparently playing on a torn MCL for 3 quarters, right?
Yeah, got hurt in the first quarter.
You know, Bam Adebayo was bad in the game, especially for a guy that's going to be playing on Team USA. I think that's a fair way to label that. Duncan Robinson was labeled active, didn't play. Their trade deadline acquisition, Terry Rozier, was not active and out with a neck injury. So, look, it's just been a bit of a disaster season for Miami, and maybe it'll end in the ultimate disaster situation, which is getting bounced in the play-in.
Yeah, tough scene all the way around for them, too, because you're right about that. When I saw, like, Duncan Robinson, again, it's not like, hey, Duncan's coming back, they're going to win the game. It's like, all right, gives you another threat from the outside for a team that's notorious for not being all that electric from the offensive end. Now you're down Jimmy Butler. Who knows if Duncan's even going to come back, Duncan Robinson, for Friday's game. And you're right, Terry Rozier was supposed to be that guy that was going to be the microwave, right? Like, hey, we need some instant offense. This guy can do it for us, help space the floor. Now that's not going to happen. It's just going to be ugly basketball on Friday, particularly if the Miami Heat want to win. But looking forward to the playoffs as a whole, no NBA action tonight, Kevin. Doubleheader tomorrow night, 7 and 9:30, but you know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I mean, like, sometimes you just got to take that deep breath and be like, you know what? Somebody's listening. Somebody's really listening. The fact that the NBA let a game go off at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6 o'clock on Saturday. I joked this morning. It was me and Davis. I said, I'm really actually surprised that the NBA didn't do one of these, right? First game, 3:30. Last game, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Going to get good ratings on Saturday. And, man, 4 games. 1, 3:30, 6, and 8:30. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. You put the Magic and the Cavs on first because nobody gives a damn. That's the way you do it. It's tease you up for the day. You get excited. And then you have Suns, Timberwolves, greatness here. The Garden's going to be rocking with the Sixers and the Knicks, where the Knicks, I'll always love this too, right? Sixers favorite at some outlets for the series, but not even favorite in game number one. Make it make sense. I don't know. I can't make any sense out of it. Lakers and the Nuggets late at night. Awesome stuff, man. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what is your current fascination with ratings, but yeah, this is how it looks. They don't run these teams up against one another, and yeah, it's a nice landing spot there for the opening. But do you like that they take off tonight, or do you wish they did the East game or the West?
Yeah,
game
no, I think you should be doing that, but again, it's Friday night. Everybody will enjoy it and get ready. I'm going to explain why I'm about ratings and why it should make sense. I'm going to explain it in very easy terms for the public to understand. Got some good topics to hit today on the show, which includes, hey, Jonte Porter, peace out, brother. Won't be seeing you around the NBA circles very much anymore. We'll be back. It's Kevin and Donnie right here, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it this afternoon. No better place to be. It's Moneyline. You know the drill. It's a lot of fun. It's Kevin and Donnie. There's callers. Everything involved includes big news here, Kevin. News number one. Haley Van Lith out there on the market. TCU. How do you feel about that? TCU HVL.
Doesn't really.
Didn't want to stay in the. Didn't want to stay in the SEC. Couldn't go back to what, the ACC. I guess it's a good move at that point. I don't even know where she was looking, to be honest. So
yeah, I didn't. Maybe have
NIL money hit down there in Texas, right?
I didn't have eyes on the Haley Van Lith bidding wars, admittedly.
Come on now. You're supposed to be. Is that a, now the question, is that a top three program in basketball? That's why you would go there, right?
TCU.
TCU. The women's they go to women's basketball? I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, the way,
they
the
make
way
the tournament?
Some other jabronis talk, be like, yeah, Iowa's a top three program in women's college basketball.
I think it is now. I think it's been elevated to that level. By the way, we're talking about doing a special. You're going to like this segment. I know you're going to like it. Ben's, you know, on vacation right now. Co-host there, host of the Early Line, along with myself. Davis Maddox been filling in. So Davis, like, you know what? Here's what we got to do. Anytime I come on the show, we have to just cover for a segment the Fever in the WNBA, which is Caitlin Clark's new team. So I was like, I don't know about that. But then he starts to make some sense. Like, if we just had one segment, like, we don't follow anything about the WNBA but the Indiana Fever, and all we do is bet the Fever, whatever the line is, and also Caitlin Clark props to the over. Cut it, scrape it, send it out. I think we can get a niche for ourselves. What do you think? Like, the preeminent network on the Indiana Fever and only the Fever. What do you say?
I mean, you could actually, you're going to still have to have an understanding of the league.
No, we don't need an understanding. We need an understanding of the Fever. Like, all we do is cover Fever. We don't care about the standings, Kevin. We cover Fever games, and that's it.
Yeah, sounds stupid.
We can get our own niche out there. Like, we could be the WNBA, like, maybe even shoot it off into a podcast. What we call it?
Probably
Sports Grid Fever? Catch the Fever?
Probably late, honestly.
Somebody out there maybe says Catch the Fever? What do you think?
Got to imagine you've missed the boat on this.
By the way, I wasn't planning to bring this up, but I wasn't planning talking about the Fever. Did you see the press conference for Caitlin Clark? Did you happen to catch that?
The viral clip from it? I didn't see it till this morning.
I didn't see that. I mean, sometimes there's a time for doing stuff, and you don't mean to be creepy, but you end up being creepy here. But it's just wild. Like, all eyes are on the WNBA, and, like, you're out there as, like, a beat reporter / reporter, and just like, you know what? Now's my time to, you know, shoot off and just ask a random question here. Tough scene for Greg Doyle. Anybody out there, it's on Twitter, it's on X, whatever social media platform. Not the greatest thing is he can't see him on camera, but he holds up, like, she does that little love sign with her hand. A lot of people do that, by the way. And I guess he started the conversation by showing her the love sign, and she's like, yeah, is that good? Like, caught her off guard by accident. It's like, yo, I just want you to do that to me as well, and, you know, happy you're here. Tough scene all the way around. But is that why it's hard to get into women's sports, where the mainstream doesn't cover it? That's how it gets covered? Nonsense at that point. It's pretty crazy the way it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awful look for the guy. If they banned his credentials, I don't think that would be a step too far. He's offered up, I think, since an apology, and said he was kind of awkward and, was not his intentions, but it came off ridiculous. And I think, again, the thing about it is for how it comes off is awful, but it's not the point. You're there to interview Caitlin Clark. Just ask your question.
Yeah.
Enough with the performative garbage that led you down that road anyway. So, again,
you kicked ass in college. Yeah, you kicked ass in college. Like, how you feel it's going to be in the WNBA? Answers the question. You shoot logo threes. You're going to shoot logo threes in the WNBA. All right, people don't mind that. Dude's like, hey, man, heart. And just, yeah. Make sure you send that heart sign just to me during the games. Tough scene out here, man. Tough scene across, but certainly that's been making its rounds on social media. Now, you ready for number two? Look at this. Like, we are covering women's basketball like nobody else, Kevin. This, you know what? Moneyline in the Afternoon might just be the WNBA channel. But before we get there, Cavender twins, both back to Miami. What do you say about that? Maybe WWE didn't work out. What happened?
One of them,
one was retired, one wasn't.
They did the WWE thing, I guess. But then one of them was supposed to go to TCU. So I don't know what happened.
Oh wow. Yeah. NIL money dried up there with HVL. It's like, you know, I'm seeing that money that they're trying to put out there. Yeah. That caught me off guard. Not that I know if that puts Miami back in the fold in women's college basketball. I don't know. But it actually, like, was because I thought that story was over at this point. Like, one's done. One might come back, but nobody's playing at Miami. Both back to Miami, which leads me to believe that guy that owns LifeLock was like, hey, you know what? You want to run this back for a couple hundred grand a piece, probably? Yeah, sure, no problem. I would do that. You run it back.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never really been able to tell how good they actually are. Like, I don't really know what they're...
One's better than the other one, but I guess they're both common. Because Miami, while they were there, like, I think they stunned Indiana in the tournament last year. Early on, I believe, in Indiana. Yeah, so they had a decent team.
Big upset with them.
Yeah. No, it was a... interesting news. There you go. Look, man, catching you people up on everything that you need to know, which includes Major League Baseball today, Tampa Bay 2, Angels 0. That's in the fifth inning. Texas 6, Detroit 4, Cleveland 1, Boston 1. Short card today, by the way. Interesting times, too, Kevin. And I guess you'll see that tonight on your show. No NBA games. 5 Major League Baseball games, which includes 3, would already be done by the time you get underway, which is 7:40 is the next game, then 9:45. Almost like today in sports, we're taking a breather. Because the NHL does play tonight and has a six-pack, but not really a lot of meaning because everybody's in the playoffs. Maybe a seed line could change. So it's one of those interesting days in sports where we don't have a lot of, oh, man, you better buckle up and get ready to go.
No, it's you're right. It's like an off day for all. Like the NHL games, like some of the stuff is already solidified, even, right? Mm-hmm. You know what you got, Don? You got the RBC. Did you go back-to-back bet the golf weeks, or are you major only?
You know what? I didn't. Now, here's and I wanted to sit there because we talked about it this week. Had a couple people on talking about like, oh, you know, here's what this golf to, and it surprised me because, again, it's an elevated tournament or a premium tournament, whatever you want to call it, $20 million purse. All the superstars are there, which meant Scotty Scheffler, again, was going to be at a plus 450 price. And I saw today while they just started the competition, he actually dropped to a 4-1 price. But you're looking at some of the scores right now. And the last time I checked, I want to say about a half hour ago, Scheffler was out there, but threw a dozen holes at even par when JT Poston is at an 8-under. So now I say to myself, oh, there you go. Scheffler's 2-under. Okay, so he did at least birdie some holes. What is his what's his price right now? Let's see. His price is 9-1, which is, it doesn't make sense.
It's the best.
Dude is down 6 shots with a round down. And it's like, no big deal. Poston is going to absolutely be horrendous. Everybody in front of him will collapse. Scheffler will shoot a 61 tomorrow and be in first place by the time we even get to Saturday. That's what that price is telling me right now.
But can I? That is why. But Don, here's the thing. I know we talk line reading, right? That's always what the Scotty price says. But that's why I thought last Sunday's minus 115 going into the final day when he was a shot up on the field. Two up on all but two golf, or three up on all but two golfers, was a stunning number. Like, based on the way they, he, you just, like, on a quick glance, he's, you know, he's in a bad spot here, even though it's 2-under. And I think what's interesting, though, but some of the top guys, I think, are just kind of getting underway. Like, Rory didn't tee off to 140. Åberg didn't tee off until 140. You know, so there's still a lot of golf that has to be played here, Donnie. So there are guys that are going to get on the move.
Yes. I was just surprised because I was like, this is actually what I do want to see, though. Because I was saying to myself, what happens if you win the Masters? All that emotion that goes into it. You fly home, wife's pregnant. You go to play the RBC, and it's like, yeah, I'm just going to win this, too, at a plus 450 price. I said, well, where does he go from there at this point? I like this. Adversity now for Scottie Scheffler. The books are like, yeah, we're not buying it. He should be in the lead right now. He's just a couple strokes off, and we're going to price him that way. Ridiculous. Much more to come here right here on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, this is the final regular season night of the NHL. We're going to break down the handicap games. No, not necessarily. But word on the street here, and it looks like it's official, the Arizona Coyotes are going to be on the move to Utah, relocating that franchise. Now, the reason I'm bringing it is I see the highlights there, and, you know, it's kind of interesting where that team just didn't work. And a lot of times, it doesn't work in warmer weather cities, or at least that used to be the past. The Florida Panthers doing very well. The Tampa Bay Lightning, one of the best franchises in the NHL. The Vegas Golden Knights in the desert, one of the best franchises in the NHL. They've only been around a couple years. Arizona never really caught on, but here's what I'm liking about it. They were showing, like, you know, the fans, you know, cheering, I guess, as the final game, and the players all go out to, like, you know, around the logo at the circle, raise their sticks up, throwing them into the crowd, you know, thanking the crowd. But there's a grown man out there. When I say grown man, not like in his 40s, but looked like he had to be at least in his 30s. Tearing and, like, wiping away the tears here that the Coyotes just played their last game. And I say this, like, you say, well, why didn't it work out? Well, because nobody cared about the Coyotes. Their own fan base didn't care about them. They end up going from, like, an NHL arena and getting basically evicted because they couldn't afford to even, like, to pay rent there, and then move to, like, a 5,000-seat college arena or whatever it was. I mean, it's surprising that the NHL let them go down that path. And then I say to myself, Kevin, no. I'm not actually surprised. Take a look at Major League Baseball's billion-dollar empire with what the A's are going to do and play in a Sacramento, you know, TV market in a tiny Major League Baseball stadium. Excuse me, a tiny single A, double A, triple A, whatever stadium it is at this point. It's crazy how some of these sports leagues can let that go instead of just invoking that clause like, we'll just take this team and move it at any time or sell this team if the owners are just junky owners at this point. Wild, though, that the Coyotes playing in a 5,000-seat arena, finally on the move. And I bet you, Kevin, they go to Utah, Salt Lake City, they're going to be sold out every single game, man. That's a big win for the Utah Jazz ownership group that gets that team.
Yeah, it is a big win for them. You got to feel bad, though, for the people that are actually fans of the Coyotes. You
know
what I mean?
On,
like, no, what do you mean?
I mean,
what do you mean?
Nice weather. It's nice weather out there. Get outside.
What are you talking about? Like, at the end of the day, Donnie, that's like, there may not be a bunch of fans, but their fans are their fans. It is tough when a team gets moved like that. I mean, also, it's pretty tough to be like, yeah, well, like, if the A's, Donnie, losing out to Vegas, it's like, all right, listen, I get it, right? But to lose out to Utah, that's not the best look. It's not the best look if you're Arizona. That's a tough pill to swallow.
Going to Utah, we'll see if the fans remain the same. But getting back to the A's real quick. The one that interesting thing about the A's is how they shoehorned themselves in. Like, it was like a diabolical plan to say, watch how I'm a businessman. I'm going to run my team into the ground, which means you make a lot of money in baseball, obviously through TV contracts. That's the majority of the money. But right behind it, Kevin, is your home gate, which means parking, jersey sales, concessions, tickets. You get it, right? And also signage around the ballpark. Imagine a business model that goes, watch this. I can probably make more money by having 300 fans in my stands and not spending any money on my payroll than I can to put a decent ball club out there, because the A's are extremely profitable and getting no fan support whatsoever. But the issue pops up now, as they're saying, in Vegas, like, obviously they built T-Mobile Arena, but not with the, I don't think they built T-Mobile Arena, by the way, with the guys of a hockey team, I don't think. I think that was already in the works, and it's like, hey, perfect, put an NHL team there. T-Mobile Arena is coming there. I could be wrong on that, but difference. The football stadium, obviously they didn't just build Allegiant Stadium, like, oh, we hope to get a football team here. Like, no, we knew the Raiders were coming, we built it for the Raiders. But now, and we stayed out there at the Excalibur, right across the street, it's a Tropicana. They're going to knock that down. They just closed the casino. They're going to knock it down and build a stadium. Here's the issue. There are so many issues with Vegas where every politician out there is going, we're not voting yes for this. Like, we're not paying for this stadium. And I find myself saying, well, if you are the A's, you just abandoned Oakland. So now you're out on that market. You're going to go to Sacramento. And this isn't even, Kevin, one of those, like, I remember one year, was it? Did the Expos play, I think, one year in, like, Puerto Rico, or split it in Puerto Rico before they actually moved to, what was it, Washington, I guess, was the franchise that they took over in place? It's like, oh, well, we have a plan that's guaranteed here, right? We just need to play somewhere next year. Our stadium's going to be ready. We're there. You could find the A's, Kevin, move to Sacramento, and Vegas completely fall through. What happens then? Like, where do, like, where do you go? Like, you can't just relocate to any. Exactly. Like, you're not in Oakland. We're like, yeah, you can come back, and you're going to pay for your stadium, and we'll like tax you on something on top of it. Because I like, where is it? Like, oh, well, we'll just go to like Nashville. But Kevin, that could be like another 5 years in advance, where you're playing in Sacramento for 5 years at a small stadium.
I wonder if, because I'm just trying to think about places that might really want it, and I wonder if they put a second team in Canada, if that could get done. Go to Vancouver, maybe?
Like, but even, is but I'm that saying, like, even,
possible?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be possible, but it's almost like, hey, we're going to Vegas, and like they're saying, like, no. Like, the only reason, they could go anywhere they wanted, particularly with their owner. If their owner goes, hey, you know what? Look, I got more money than God. I believe he got most of his trust fund money, which, again, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. He could have very easily said, you know what? We're staying in Oakland. They don't want to give any money. I'm going to build my own stadium. It's going to be fine. Like Kroenke down in L.A. Like, hey, if you want to go to L.A., you're going to pay for everything. He's like, yeah, cool, got it. And watch how much my franchise is going to be worth in 3 years. But the A's were playing that hardball. Like, no, around baseball, you usually get, what, 50% for a stadium from local money and federal money and state money, whatever you get it from. And that's the way you do it. But in California, they say, dude, you make enough money. And you're in an unbelievable state for commerce. Build it yourself. You're going to make a ton of money. No, we're not doing that. And every single city plays hardball with that. But the question on my mind is, like, again, like, if he just built his own, he could go anywhere he wanted to. Vegas would be like, you're going to come here and you're going to pay for your own stadium? Yeah, come on down. Come on down, A's. We love you. You'll be loved for decades here at this point. The only reason why they're moving the same way with the Oakland Raiders, who couldn't stay in Oakland, is because they're a cash-poor franchise. We can't afford to build a stadium without any help from the state government. Vegas was like, hold on, an NFL team in Vegas? We'll give you like three quarters of this. Just come on down here. And they did that. But the funny thing is, like, the A's, hey, here's our stadium rendition. It's like, yeah, nobody's paying for that. I'm like, oh, well, I guess eventually you'll pay for it. No, I don't think we will.
Yeah, again, I think, look, it's obviously a messy situation, right, Donnie? And it seems a little one of a kind here. But it has to be a scenario, because they're going to keep them on the West Coast, right? Like, they're going to have to stay, be an AL West team. They're going to have to be... But then again, it's probably way more complicated, now that I say it, to be like, yeah, our team plays in Canada. You have to cross borders to play us, right, kind of thing. So, again, I only mentioned Vancouver, and maybe that's me seeing so much of Gabe's timeline, but he's always talked about how desperate Canada is for another baseball team, which, again, makes plenty of sense, right, that they would want back a second baseball team. I don't think you just throw it in Montreal, but I think going to, just because, you know, Winnipeg, I think, is also out west, if I'm not mistaken, in Canada, so... Is that right?
Good luck getting free agents up to Winnipeg. Yeah, what is what's Winnipeg like? Halfway between, like, you know, the Vancouver and, I guess you could say, Montreal, like right in the middle of that area. Tiny little city at that point.
Again, Vancouver is way out west. So what would it be, Vancouver or Calgary? Again, I'm just thinking
Edmonton. Not, put them up in Edmonton.
Where, like, if they struck out in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
And unless they're just going to accept being the Sacramento A's... Like, where else are they going to go west that makes sense?
I don't know. Like, I guess the I want to say hot markets make sense, but we've always been hearing about like Nashville, Carolina. Oh my goodness.
About it, if it's the AL West, right? That's where the Astros and the Rangers are. So they actually could be in Texas, as dumb as, because that's just the
San Antonio
of it all. Yeah, but I'm just trying to think through, like, actual. I'm just saying, Donnie, if they became the San Antonio A's, as much as we would laugh that, like, the whole West is actually dead set under the country, it would make sense.
Yeah. No, it would. It's just the wackiness overall, where it's like, come on now, A's, just embarrassing. But also letting, like, Major League Baseball watch this. And it wasn't a quick turnaround. This has been going on for a long time, where we always preach and say, well, sometimes you just got to step in as the owner. Like, there are legalities where you can get in line and be like, yeah, you're detrimental to the league. Forget about selling it. We're taking your franchise from you here. This is unbelievable stuff. But apparently nobody cares. It doesn't matter. And other owners are fine with saying, hey, I try to pay out here to get a good franchise. Because the one wacky thing that would subvert this whole thing, Kevin, is It's all based on payroll, which is so crazy. And it passes, and every time they have a lockout, it still goes through. The small markets go, we want to be extremely profitable like the big markets. So how do we do this? Big markets, you have more money than God to spend. Spend as much as you want. It's going to go into a, let's just say, a luxury tax type thing where you're going to have to pay overage. So the A's go, okay, the lower we are in the payroll, like the Yankees cheering wild. They you kidding me? You talk about like the Dodgers aren't fair. They pay too much money. You know who loves the Dodgers? Oakland Athletics. The higher the Dodgers go into that tax, the more money Oakland makes. Mm-hmm. Make that make sense, because it doesn't make any sense. There's revenue sharing in the NFL, but there also are floors and caps where you cannot spend below to embarrass yourself. So it's not like, hey, you know what? The Cincinnati Bengals would love it if they could play by the Oakland Athletics. We're not going to sign anybody. We'll draft high every year. We'll turn into the Pittsburgh Pirates and trade every single one of our players away before they even make any money. But you know what? But the Cowboys want to keep spending money out there. The Rams want to keep spending money. Keep doing it, because you'll supplement my coffers, and that will be what's going to sustain us here. Just wild times in baseball. It should never, ever, ever happen like that. All right. NBA action. Nothing tonight, Kevin. Doubleheader Friday. Quadruple header on Saturday. I feel bad on this, because I wanted to watch what the Pelicans might have been able to do in the playoffs. Loved the game against the Lakers and Pelicans. Was excited for it. Lived up to the hype. Zion was phenomenal. Now we're not going to see Zion anymore. So my question is going to be, a couple big injuries on the table, which does include Kawhi Leonard. Let's see if we have any movement in those series or thought process behind, can these teams still do something, which does include the Miami Heat actually getting to that eighth seed. Another big segment on deck. Don't go anywhere, man. It's Moneyline right here on a Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Feels like an NFL day. Why is that? Well, we don't have any games in action tonight, and we have lines up for the weekend, Kevin. I mean, you got to be kidding me on this. This is like Christmas here in the NBA. Two games on Friday, four games on Saturday, two games listed here on Sunday. Now, do we get four games on Sunday, or no? Is that just the way it's set up here? But do we get more games because of those Friday night games? What happens?
Yeah.
Is it four?
The winner of Kings Pelicans will play the Thunder on Sunday night. And the winner of Heat Bulls will play the Celtics. I don't know if it's the first game or the third game, but it's one of those two. Because I know 3:30 is that Mavs Clippers game.
Now hold on. Now help me out here.
Yeah,
I'm seeing Sunday, 3:30 and 7. Where do those other games come in?
3:37, 9:30, and 1 p.m. I think.
9:30 on Sunday night.
Yeah, why? What did you want them to do? What did you want them to do?
Why is it 8:30 on Saturday? Why is it not 1, 3:30, 6, and 8:30 on Sunday night? Why?
I mean, again, does the hour make the difference? I guess.
Yes, the hour makes the difference.
I mean, it really doesn't. You wouldn't watch any.
I thoroughly enjoyed the Sixer game last night, Kevin. I was up for the entirety of it. Loved it. Man, oh, feel good in the morning, too. I actually was able to stay up and relax.
You know what it
saw
is?
Saw none of the second game.
Let's see. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Wow, this is so weird. So here's what it is, Donnie. The Saturday games are all on ESPN or ABC.
Okay.
And then Sunday is ABC, ABC, TNT, TNT. Now, I'm just telling you that's the clear distinction there.
But why not this? I want to know why it isn't the same time. Why not?
It must be TNT doesn't want the game.
Doesn't want any ratings. Yeah.
No. Is if Mavs Clippers goes long, it would run into Pacers Bucks, and they don't want that.
I mean, this.
They're making
we're doing
sure
it wrong.
That the game can't. Listen, you don't have to like the answer. You can say that's silly, but that has to be because they're not the same network.
Doesn't.
They don't want that game to run into the other.
Look, let me break it down, because I forgot that I teased this like two breaks ago. Let me break this down for you. You know, being a business owner, the goal is to make as much money as possible. You can own a business with a hoagie shop, a pizza shop, Chinese food, burger joint, you get the picture, right? You can also own an NFL franchise, NBA franchise, or a network. The goal is, how do we maximize profits and make the most money we can from the most customers to enjoy our product? So, when I owned the store, it would be ludicrous for me to say, you know what? We're not going to open up on Friday or Saturday or even Sunday. We're gonna feed people, but you know what? Only Monday, Kevin. And we're going to open up for cheesesteaks at 9 o'clock at night and go right to midnight, 1 o'clock. That's it, though. That's when you get your cheesesteaks and you can have that. He said, boy, I don't know about that business. I don't know if that's going to work long term. So why would you not use the same philosophy and say, hey, look, McDonald's is open all day long. Everybody can come anytime they want. Everybody's going to be able to enjoy, and so be it. Meaning, you are going to feed the majority of the customers that will be awake at that time, eating at that time. You get the picture. Why doesn't the NBA think about that at times? Or the NCAA? Like, isn't the goal to say, let me look at that game between the Pacers and the Bucks and say, how many people can I get to watch this game? Because number one, ratings will go up, which means we can sell more packages for advertising later on. The players will be like, hey, you know what? A lot of people, more people are watching our game. Next time we want to negotiate our contracts, boy, we can sell that to the league and say, you know what? We deserve more money here and more shares of the pie here. That's what I don't understand. Like, like Saturday, and it's something to be facetious, but I think that is a home run for the NBA. All day, every single person will be able to watch those games and enjoy. Why would you not do that again on Sunday? I don't get it.
So, look, the reality of it is, though, Donnie, right? There's only one critical change, and it's instead of starting at 8:30, you're starting at 9:30, right? Like, that's the one big change. But at the end of the day, I'm giving you the answer. I understand you don't like it, but this is the thing when you have relationships with multiple networks. At the end of the day, the NBA is raking in money from both of those partners. And if the decision is we're not running head-to-head, right, because Pacers-Bucks doesn't want to get, you know, have an awful start to their game because Mavs-Clippers is finishing in overtime, and they're going to leave that gap. Or because Donnie Pace, or maybe TNT, is like, no, we're doing an hour of Chuck, Kenny, and Ernie for the first time of the playoffs. Everybody's favorite show on the earth. And we're going to make sure we give ourselves that time to do that show.
I don't know, but it doesn't make sense. And it's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. Like, tomorrow night's a Friday. There's no excuses. You could put a game on at 10 o'clock. Heck, even Saturday, if you wanted to put it on 10 o'clock, you could do that, even though it would hurt ratings because a lot of kids would be in bed by the time that game is even at halftime or even when it starts. Yeah. I just look at the big picture and say, let me run the NBA, and I will make you more money than you ever believed.
Yeah, Donnie, they don't need you to do that, right? Like, they're doing great. They, trust me, if this was an issue, they would
fix it. Mark Cuban sold his franchise. He knows what's happening. He's always a champion for the NBA. Got out. He got out.
I'll tell you this. Like, here's the complaint you're going to really put up is Monday's schedule. Mm. Have you seen the Monday schedule? I almost want you to look at it.
Monday is what? The 22nd? Is that the 22nd?
Mm-hmm. Like, the Monday schedule is so wrong. Cavs-Mavs, 7 o'clock tip, NBA TV. Knicks-Sixers, 7:30 TNT. Nuggets-Lakers, 10 o'clock TNT. Now, here's the obvious thing you do. You do not start the awful game standalone and try and hook people in to NBA TV. You start Knicks-Sixers at 7. You don't bump back your national TV because then the Lakers-Nuggets game could start a half hour plus earlier. So that's just a mess.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. That's wild to think. You're right about that because I just look at that myself and say, hold on, man. But see, again, if I was running the league, Lakers Nuggets 7 p.m. Bonanza rating, like bonkers ratings across the country. Bonkers.
But again, like, Donnie, that truly is not the only consideration of when they do these things, like, obviously. Well,
yeah, but we do know that. Let's just take the NCAA tournament. Like, they have no problem playing a game East Coast at 10 o'clock at night in the tournament. They don't care. They don't care about that at all. Why can't we do that in the NBA playoffs? Put the Magic Cavs at 10 o'clock where nobody wants to watch it anyway. Bury them. You put the Knicks and the Sixers within an hour of the Lakers and the Nuggets. And also, this is a 1950, Kevin. We're all around one little 16-inch TV in the living room, and we can't change channels ever. Everybody has multiple ways to watch games. Are you like? We don't really complain on Sundays, because we're built into this. Like, oh my God, the NFL's got too many games going on at once. They got to stagger them: 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You see what I mean? We don't complain. Wait. We have multiple TVs.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, this is the best. How about this one? Ready? How about Tuesday? Yeah. Timberwolves Suns get 7:30, right?
Oh, I'm seeing this too now. Yeah, go ahead.
8:30 Bucks Pacers, Clippers Mavs is 10. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Here's what happened there. Is TNT said, yeah, you're not giving us Bucks Pacers without Giannis. Minnesota, you're playing at 7. I'm telling you right now, Donnie, that was supposed to be the East Coast game start at 7:30, and they were like, nope,
just jamming
we're good.
Them.
We're good. Just we'll take Durant and Devin Booker, please. Thank you very much.
By the way, shout out at this, too, because I see the pattern here, and I call it the Houston Texans pattern. Now, it's not fair anymore because Texans are no longer, Kevin, going to get the first game out of the gate in the playoffs anymore. They're going to be marquee next year, so you can remove them. That was always the joke under Bill O'Brien, like, all right, playoffs are starting. Well, who's that 4 o'clock or 3:30 Saturday game? Well, that's the Texans. Doesn't matter who they play. The Texans always get that game. I'm seeing a pattern here. Orlando Magic, 7 o'clock, 4:22. Orlando Magic, 7 o'clock, 4:25. They're not letting them get any of the extreme primetime games, which really makes me laugh at this point. Bury them. And again, they're the 1 o'clock game on Saturday too, which is like, hey, just get them out of the way, man.
The NBA is never worried about letting you know which series does not matter. They've never once been concerned about it. It's not going to start now. They're very happy to just approach it the way. Again, Donnie, right? From that instance, they never go, no, look, we need to spread the wealth and get the Lakers, NBA TV. They never would consider such a thing.
Never, man. I'd be glad. I'd have the Lakers at home game at 7 p.m. Eastern every time, man. Let's go. Don't get in the crypto.com arena. Don't worry about it. Those people take off and relax. Now, you're not going to be on the show tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We have two games tomorrow, which, again, not as interesting as they maybe could have been. Would have loved to have seen Zion in, but still going to be a tough game. And now the Kings are favored there, the Bulls and the Miami Heat. That line is 1.5 favor of the Heat. But also the Saturday games. Cavs by 4.5. Timberwolves by 2. New York Knicks by 2.5. Denver Nuggets by 7.5. How are we feeling about the setup? Like, even more so than tomorrow, the setup of the playoffs here and away they go.
So, oh boy. For tomorrow, it's one of those things. I'm still inclined to lean towards the home teams, Donnie, because it is difficult to, grab those two in a row. And Miami's played plenty without Jimmy this year. They're 13-9 without him. And, the Pelicans are a team that have been good against Sacramento. Now, I can't ignore a lot of that is Ben Zion, right? It feels, and I think this is what we talked about, and I know this is probably not the most helpful for everybody out there listening, but we'll make the determinations as we get closer. But remember yesterday we were talking, or 2 days ago, I guess it was, where it was like, look, Lakers-Warriors, it looks like it's going to go that way, but it's probably not. It's just, this is going to get a split. The two home teams won't win. Like, it's going to split, right? And doesn't it kind of feel like it's going to split? Where it'll be either, Miami and Sacramento or Chicago and New Orleans to some degree.
Yeah. That was the way I had the feeling of that the first playoff round yesterday. I was like, look, it's going to be hard for both road teams to win. Even though I'm going to take both of them, one's going to lose. I just thought Golden State was a better bet than the Lakers overall. By the way, tough beats yesterday for me, Kevin. I had two boosts. One at 365, one at FanDuel, which included this. It was a combination of these two players, three different ways. Or three players, excuse me. It's Trae Young, Jimmy Butler, Tyrese Maxey. One of them was Maxey and Butler, each to get 20 points. Both finished with 19. The other one was Maxey and Trae Young, each to get 20 points. Again, Maxey got 19, Trae got 22. Tough scene, man. Tough. As I was watching that game, because it's had a good start, too. Like, Jimmy Butler had a good first quarter, even though he got injured. So did Tyrese Maxey. I got to get to 20, man. That should be easy. Both guys well in the double digits at the half. Ice cold in the second half. And at the end of the game, I was like, man, just get some fouls. Make some free throws. Do something. Like, Jimmy Butler wasn't even for the final possession of the game. I'm like, damn it, man. You can't even foul the guy and let him get there. So, tough scene all the way around there. RBI props been good for me. But NBA action, man. It's tough on sides, man. It just just is. 1.5 tomorrow, 1 tomorrow, close numbers outside of the Denver Nuggets. Then we look to Sunday's action. Kevin R. in the board. Clippers getting 1 at home from the Mavericks. Pacers minus 1 against the Bucks, man. I love to see this. It's not really parity. It's just going to be good games, it looks like.
It is remarkable, though, and it's gonna upset me if we don't get... if we don't get some of these series leaders because of injuries, because, you know, here's the number I really want for people, and I don't know if it's going to actually end up coming out. I want Giannis to lead Pacers Bucks in points, despite the injury. Like, I am hoping
we get game
a
two comeback
number.
Honestly,
I don't care if he misses the first two games. Don, he averaged 45 against them this season. Like, he can make up that gap.
Tempo, people. Tempo this weekend. No NBA action tonight. Just interesting. Only two Major League Baseball games later tonight, but the weekend. Woo-hoo, boy. Hold on to your hats. We'll be right back right here on Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're closing it out here, Moneyline style, Sirius XM channel 159. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio. Up next, the legendary Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast Thursday action. Mike Carver leading the charge, RBC Heritage coverage. Took a piece of Ludwig Åberg and Rory McIlroy before those guys teed off at 12-1 each. Both eagled the fifth hole here, a par five at the RBC. Both sit 3 under right now and T10. JT posted the leader at 8 under overall. Scotty Scheffler, the pre-tournament favorite, walked it into the clubhouse at 2 under right now. Live odds have posted at plus 650. Åberg 7-1. Rory plus 750. Scotty 10-1. You'll get 14s on Xander and Colin Morikawa. And then Sahith Theegala at 18-1 is the last golfer we have before you start getting to 22s, 28s, and then 40s is really how this board starts to materialize. Tonight, Game Time Decisions, I'll be live featuring, of course, Brady Cannon, getting you up to date on everything with this tournament. We'll hear from Adam Kaplan and Mike Blewett as we are 1 week out from the NFL draft. We'll talk to Joe Maddon around the NHL's regular season coming to a close and their post season starting on Saturday. NFL draft wise, again, as I said, we'll talk to both Adam Kaplan and Mike Blewett tonight, who will be a big part of our coverage a week from tonight as we get you set for everything that is upcoming next week, the NFL draft big time coverage. And today, some movement or maybe lack thereof with the Washington Commanders saying that we will stay at 2. Don't need to trade down. We feel great about what we're going to do there. And there's been a lot of reporting around Jaden Daniels being the selection for the Washington Commanders at 2. Adam Schefter perhaps leading that charge. But this is not a done deal. And we know the NFL draft always brings big odd swings out of nowhere. And if Drake May pulls off that upset and goes at 2, could Jaden Daniels fall on draft night? We'll talk about tonight on Game Time Decisions. Coast to Coast is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.